So I want to talk to you, continue on this journey that we're talking about, living what you believe. And I want to talk to you about spiritual DNA. And we all hear, especially lately, about ancestry.ca and 23andMe and all these places where you can go, and maybe some of you have already done this, where you've gone and connected with your DNA, and then they've shown you where your relatives are, and some of them actually give you, I don't know whether this is a good thing or not, they give you kind of a health report, and they say, well, you're subject to this, or you're subject to that, or it's probably not a good thing, maybe, I don't know, maybe to prepare, but anyways, it's quite interesting what they can do in this area. My brother, Tony, got this done. His daughters bought him the little kit where you kind of, you know, put the big Q-tip in your mouth, and then you send that off, and then they tell you where your ancestry is from. So I thought it was kind of interesting, because when we were growing up, we're Italian and Irish, and my mom said, I don't know how that happened, that I have four kids and they're all Italians and none of them are Irish, because we have always leaned towards the Irish part or the Italian part. And so when it comes back, I can't remember what the exact numbers were, but it was kind of equal Irish and Italian, right? And then there was a whole bunch of other things that were mixed in there. A lot of European. I think that's kind of a general. It's like, you know, we're just splattered in there, European. And then it says that his DNA originated from Africa, and that's kind of all Africa. It didn't say he was cousins to JF Kennedy or anybody like that, or we don't have any big names in there. We have some mafia people, I imagine, but we don't want to mention their names because there still might be the family around, you know, and so we don't want to get into that. So, but, you know, it's like I'm pretty proud of being Italian and Irish. And then our kids got married. So Elaine is Russian and British. So now we got four, okay? So our kids are mixed already. They're messed up, right? They got all sorts of, all these genes and chromosomes and stuff like this. And then they go and mess it up more. I mean, look, you know, Jack, that whole, we're connected with all of India, and that whole area. Anything close to India, we're probably connected with. And then our son marries a Scots person. Not a Scotchman, but a Scots person. And so now we're connected there, the Irish and the Scots. Can you imagine where that might be a little bit of friction, eh? English, too. You just have to read the history, and there'd be just one big fight when they get together, you know, because they all want to be the king or the queen or whatever. So can you imagine? Now, in this room, there is lots of different connections. And I don't know how many of you have done your DNA, and I want to do mine to see if it comes back the same as my brother's, which it should. If it doesn't, then am I adopted? That's what I was wondering. Am I adopted? Because he had never allowed me to believe he was adopted. He's too big and tough that, you know. But we don't really look like each other. He, you know, I'm quite handsome. No. He'll never listen to this tape, so I don't have to worry about any reprisal. You ask Elaine, she knows we're related. We talk the same, we act the same. We're kind of very much that way. So my DNA should come back similar to his, right? Because it's the same mom and dad. And I'd kind of be interested, but I'm a little kind of, you know, wondering about this whole DNA thing, because they trace it back so far, and then they give you relatives. Like, you want more relatives, maybe. You know, like, and especially if you have a nice house and a swimming pool. Did you know how many relatives you never knew you had in the summertime? We lived in Asuyas, and right on the lake, and we had this beautiful pool and a hot tub, and it was right close. We had 200, you know, we were in this complex that had a couple hundred feet of beach, and you have friends and relatives you've never met. Because you have that. So if you have an in-ground pool, you could do it. That's probably just as good as DNA testing. You know, they will come. But we have relatives on my mom's side in Illinois. We have we have relatives in Sicily, and we have relatives in England, we have relatives in Ireland, we have relatives in the Punjab now, we have all these people in Scotland, and there's something that's more even interesting and more exciting and more beautiful is we have a connection with the God of creation. We just sang it. He's a good, good father. You ever thought about that? How could he be our father? Now, we just kind of believe. We go, oh, well, he's our father which art in heaven. We don't have a mother. So what's this? Like, in our logical way of thinking, what is this all about? What is this? How does this connection come? Because we do have a father. We're his children. Well, there's a thing I believe that's called spiritual DNA that we get. And I hope I can explain it to you and not mess you up. So let's first look at the regular human biological DNA. And I have, this thing keeps powering out on me here. So DNA, you see that pretty little thing there? The helix coil, I think it's called, or something like that. A self-replicating material present in nearly all living organisms as the main constituent of chromosomes. It is the carrier of genetic information. It is the fundamental and distinctive characteristics or qualities of someone or something. So we're not the same. None of us are the same. I'm not the same as my brother. I'm not the same as my sister. Our kids are not the same as me. They have parts of me and they have parts of Elaine. But they have parts of all this ancestry that came in, little tiny pieces. And so, in DNA, and I found this quite interesting when I looked it up, there are 23 pairs of chromosomes, and we probably learned this in high school, one of each pair being inherited from each parent. So females have 46 chromosomes, 44 autosomes, plus two copies of the X chromosome. They have 46 chromosomes, 44 which are autosomes, and then two of those 46 are X chromosomes. The female egg, the reproductive cells, are the chromosomes are different as they only have half of the cells. I kind of mixed up here. So they have half of the chromosome cells. So 23 made up of 22 numbered chromosomes and one X. Okay? Are you following me? So women, X. That's a good thing. Okay? That's a good X. So there are 23 chromosomes, one of each pair being inherited from each parent. So parent males have 46 chromosomes, 44 of those autosomes, plus an X and a Y. Are we different? Really? What I'm hearing is we're not different, that there's no gender. I don't know. Who determines the sex of the child? I mean, God does, but who's the carrier? It says right here, sperm in male reproductive cells are different as they contain half the chromosomes, which are 23, made up of 22 numbered chromosomes and one X or Y. Isn't that interesting? I just love this kind of stuff. I'm not a biologist and I'm not into this kind of stuff, but I just find this really, really interesting that this is such a created thing. Don't you think? This has got to come from a creator. And it's continuing on and on and on in our lives and our reproductive, and it affects everybody in the whole entire world. Because God created us, or one great family created in his image. Did you know that? We're all created in it. Well, you look around here and you go, wow, there's a lot of different images. God's created us in his image, the spiritual image. And he has placed us in this family through spiritual DNA. So what's that? Therefore, If anyone is in Christ, and this is the Amplified, that is, grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as a Savior, he is a new, or she is a new creation, creature reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral, spiritual condition. This is why spiritual DNA is so important in our lives. The old moral, spiritual conditions have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings life. When that baby's born, that baby, we just look at that baby and we go, oh, wow, you know, she looks like me, or she looks like you, or she looks like herself, or whatever. But we just go and we count all the toes and we count all the fingers and we do this. We just go, oh, what a creation, what a beautiful thing. Spiritually, God does the same thing. Some people have just given their testimony that they just became born again. They just were infused with the spiritual DNA to change the way they live. So spiritual DNA is design, nurture, and acceptance. God has designed us, he nurtures us, and he accepts us. Those are huge words. There is no way that I can believe that we just kind of crawled out of a marsupial swamp and all of a sudden we're able to have consistently 46 chromosomes, 23 or 23 chromosomes, and that they would be that they would be consistently, I would have, Elaine would have X's and I would have Y's and X's. I just, he knows every hair that's on your head. That's how intricate the relationship is with our Father and the DNA that he puts into our lives. So let's look at design. God became man to turn creatures into sons, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. C.S. Lewis. So God didn't come to say, hey, you know what, Jim? I'm going to walk alongside you, or I'm going to live inside of you, and you can become a better one of who you were. No, he says, I came alongside you to be completely changing. I'll be the change agent in your life. You won't think the same way. You won't live the same way. You won't relate the same way. You won't function the same way you ever did before. And really, if I go back to my hometown and if you came back with me, they would go, really? Caruso, you're a pastor, eh? And then they would have a little bit of a description of why they don't believe that should be true. Because that's the way I was, but that's not the way I is. All right? That's the way you were, that's not the way you is. You is different. Because you have spiritual DNA that you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. So when you make a decision, don't draw from your own understanding, but draw from his understanding. Mix it with your experience and your faith, and then you'll have the right answer. And you'll have that peace, peace. Wonderful peace. We, Lane and I, even in our marriage, we have always tried to make decisions together that we would agree on and have peace about. If you do not have peace in a decision, don't make it. You hear me? I have lots of vehicles I bought. Have you? Maybe you have it still. Or you wish you just felt some niggling little thing that, don't buy this, but oh man, I love the color. That's just what I want. It's all I can afford, right? And you wish you'd never bought it. The same with a house. Maybe you prayed and prayed about a house, and then you realize that you need to pray and pray to get out of that house. Have you ever done that? It's like, oh God. And please, it's not God who gives you a mortgage. No, you have to have a good credit rating, and if you can't cut the payments, you're not going to have a mortgage anymore or a house. So you have a lot of responses. So I don't know whether God burdens us down with like large mortgages and then we can't sleep at night. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. We have to understand that sometimes we make our own decisions. So God didn't come became man. God became man to turn creatures into sons, and simply to produce, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. A new kind of man. And then the next quote here is out of Ephesians by Paul, and he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship. See those hands? They were, I wonder what it was like in the Garden of Eden. There was a bunch of dirt, and there was a bunch of stuff, you know, and plants and all that kind of stuff. And then God just took some of that dirt. And did he do this? Did he go like this, pick it up and go? Let a little water shape the face. You know, ears are too big. Chin's too long. Eyes, ears, more mouth. No, I don't know. You know, let's get an arm out here. I don't know how he did it, but can you imagine? It would have been dirt. Good old dirt. Now you have to buy dirt. Right, Derek? Derek's in the dirt selling business. Before, it was all free. You didn't have to. In the Garden of Eden, you didn't have to buy anything. Dirt was there, and God used the dirt to create us. And so, you know, the scripture after says dust to dust. Because that's what we do, is we actually go back to the earth. I believe that it must have been incredible when God just took that dirt. And did he kind of form out, like on the beach, you know, some people form out the shape of a person, and then did he, like, he'd have to have a mouth because he breathed life into the mouth, and so he had this little dirty mouth, right? It wasn't clean, it was dirty, and he just went and breathed into it, and then boom, and it would have erupted. The dirt that wasn't needed would have fallen off, and he would have been created in the image of God. And he would have got up and stood there. Wouldn't you think that'd be cool? I think God thought it was cool because he said it is good. And you know what? He's never said it's been bad since. Understand this. The enemy comes and says, "You're not good." Father says, "You are good." Do you do things that are bad? Absolutely. Because you have a choice. But you are good. He is not disappointed in you. He has never left you, nor will he ever leave you or forsake you. He loves you. You might not love yourself, but he loves you. Jesus said, "I come so that they would have real eternal life, more and better life than they've ever dreamed of." What is your dream? They just had a 649 or something like that, and it was $55 million. Did you see the commercial? Did you tell yourself a little story? $55 million. Thankful all of you were the first thing you would have thought of. I need to tithe to the pastor's church. 5.5 million. It's easy. That's why God made it 10%. You just divide it by 10. And you still have a lot, $55 million. You'd still have $49.5 million. You should be able to get by with that. Did you think about whether you'd work the job you had? Did you go and tell yourself the story? Because you think that that would be an awesome life. The awesome life is this, that Christ came. I came so that they would have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. $55 million is a short aspect to the glory of God in your life. You can have nothing and have the joy and the peace that Christ wants for you. In Romans 6, it says this in verse 4, "We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may too live a new life." We saw that this morning. Isn't that exciting? A new life in Christ. And if you haven't been baptized, we'll baptize you, because what it is that it's the public declaration of exactly what we're talking about here, is you have come to Christ, you've died with Christ in your sins, and Christ has risen and lifted you up. Isn't that awesome? And I'm so excited for those candidates who went forward and were baptized. I just think, and our sister's going back to China, saved and baptized in the whole in God. So God has come to give us not just life, but the life we never even dreamed of. So I thought maybe I'd try to explain how spiritual DNA alters the life of human beings. And so I want to tell you a little story that you're probably familiar with, a guy named Nicodemus. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along in this. In chapter 3, right in the very beginning, it says, "Now there was a Pharisee." A Pharisee was a very religious lawyer of the law. Very learned person, very smart, very wise, but stuck to the law. Had to follow the law if they broke any of the laws, and there was the Ten Commandments or the Ten Laws, but there was like 436 sundry laws that they created. So they had to follow all those laws. Like, you couldn't go and pick up any firewood on the Sabbath, because if you went too far, that would be further than a Sabbath day's journey, and so somebody would come by and stone you. I can't figure out that part, because they were able to kill you with rocks, but you weren't able to pick up firewood. Doesn't make sense to me, but that's the law. So this Pharisee named Nicodemus was the member of and a member of the Jewish ruling council. So he wasn't just a Pharisee. He was in the Jewish ruling council. So he was pretty high up there. And he came to Jesus by night. Some good things happened by night. He had to conceal his identity because he would be punished for connecting with Jesus. The reason he connected with Jesus is he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. No one could perform the signs that you are doing if God wasn't with him." Inside of his heart, inside of all our hearts, there's an innate drive for each human being to find truth, life, and peace. That's created in us. We hunger for that. And so here's this learned man who could quote the Bible and understood the laws and understood every aspect of being religious in his whole life, but he missed the relationship with Jesus Christ. This is an introduction into what spiritual DNA does in a person's life. In my situation, I was far from Christ. I didn't go to church, but the Holy Spirit started moving inside, just like he started moving inside of some of your lives, and you came to Christ, and maybe he's moving in some of your lives right now to come to Christ because he loves you. And I didn't want to go to church, and I didn't want to be a pastor, and I didn't want to do a lot of things. I told God to quit messing with my life is what I did. Because I was going to be different if I came to Christ. And for me, it was like my pastor said, "Well, you don't drink anymore now. You don't swear. And you don't do this. You don't go to the show. You don't." And I said, "Want to bet?" See, there's an attitude problem as well. But inside of me, I knew there was some peace missing. That was it for us. For Elaine and I, we'd done good. I mean, we bought our place. We had a daughter. We had a welding business. I was local boy makes good, and I had my welding tickets, and I was confident that I can make a living and supply everything for my family, and I had friends and all this kind of stuff. But inside of Jim Caruso, there was something missing. There was peace that needed. I needed that peace. So here's design. God, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." I love this. Because in design, God knows us so well. He knows what will change your life. He knows what questions you're asking and he knows how to get you to answer them. So listen to this. Jesus designed each of us and knows exactly how we uniquely ponder life. The thing that changed, and I said this before, the thing that really changed my life was my friend Wilf, who was a diabetic, and before he was a diabetic, he was my friend that we drank together, fought together, and all this kind of stuff. He became a Christian, and he said to me, you know, Caruso, you're good enough to be a Christian. And he passed away from his diabetes. He had severe level 1 diabetes, and so eventually took his life at 34 years old. And it took me almost 8 or 10 years after to realize this statement. Caruso, you're good enough to be a Christian, which only means, Caruso, you're a sinner like the rest of us. But you see, it appealed to me much more that I was good enough to be a Christian, not that I was a sinner and going to hell, and if I didn't find Jesus Christ right now, you're going to go to hell. You could walk out this door right now and get hit by the bus, the Sunday school bus, of all things, that would send you to hell. Hallelujah. I mean, that kind of stuff would have just, I would have said, up your nose. I don't care. But he said something because he knows how we ponder life. Nicodemus didn't need somebody saying, you know, Jesus died for your sins. He needed somebody to challenge him. Nicodemus needed somebody to challenge him inside because he was asking questions, not verbally, but inside his head. And I think that's the nurturing part of God. So Nicodemus said, how can someone be born when they're old? It's a good question. Surely you cannot enter into the second time into the mother's womb and be born. Now, I have actually seen where there is a birth channel canal that you can go down now. It's a big tube. Yes, honestly. And you can be reborn. No, you can't. No, you can't be reborn. You're done. This is it. No going back. No going back. This is you. This is who you are until you step into this next life. The only way you can be born again is by the Spirit of God. And so Jesus was on top of this. You see, when the natural realm is introduced to the spiritual realm, Jesus listens and brings clarity. You do not ever have to defend God. You do not have to defend yourself in all of these things. You might not know the answers, but you don't have to defend it because God is the creator of all things. Verse 5, it says, Jesus answered, very truly I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of the water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to the flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. John 1:12 says this, yet to all who did receive him, to them who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. Children born out of a natural descent, or a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Isn't that great? God has the only ability to cause you to be born again. We have born-again cars, and we have born-again all sorts of stuff in the advertising, but there's only one born-again experience, and that's through the Spirit of God, and that's through Jesus Christ. So he goes on to discuss this with Nicodemus. He said, you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So is it with everyone born of the Spirit. We don't know how this works. I really don't. I don't know how the Spirit of God actually came upon Mary and Jesus was conceived. I don't know how that happened. But that had to happen. That had to happen so that Jesus could be born without sinful blood, that he could go to the cross without sin. He who had no sin was made to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. I don't understand that. I don't know what it was that happened really when Jesus Christ came into my life, when I invited him in, and I felt this cleansing happen. I don't know how to explain that. I don't know how to tell you how that worked. I just know that it happened and it changed my life. And that spiritual DNA coming in and being baptized in the Holy Spirit right away, my life and my thought life and my plans and everything began to change. I didn't swear anymore right away, which is amazing because we tried to quit swearing and it didn't work. We tried really hard, but in the environment I was in with truckers and miners and loggers and all this kind of stuff, they would swear all the time. And we tried, both Elaine and I tried to quit swearing, and just instantly God took that away. That's a God thing. That's the God impression of the DNA inside of you. You're not the same ever again. Could I go back to swearing? Sometimes I feel like it, but I don't. You shouldn't ever even feel like it. Oh, yeah. You're still human. You have a choice. Right? Anybody fight with that? Don't put your hand up. Galatians 3:26 says this. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, who were baptized into Christ, have been clothed yourself with Christ. So all of you are children of God, and then when you baptize in water and baptize in the Holy Spirit, you are covered over with the robe of righteousness and the garments of salvation, and that is a public declaration of what happened inside of you. You're just saying, this is what happened. I died. Jim Caruso actually died. He died. And Jim Caruso now with the spiritual DNA is alive. I'm no longer. Some people say, well, that's the way I am. It's, you know, that's my Irish temper. And Irish Arbery, they love to fight. They actually love to fight and then knock a tooth out and go and have a sandwich together after. They just want to fight. But you're not Irish anymore, Caruso. The dominant DNA in your system isn't from your mom or from your dad or from the generations before. The dominant DNA in your system is God, spiritual DNA. And we need to live and understand what is that. And we get that in the scriptures, in the Bible. We find that in the scriptures of how to live. It's called character. Skipping ahead to chapter 7 of John, we read about Nicodemus again. I think that whole piece was nurture, where Jesus talked with him, showed him, developed him. And then there's acceptance. Verse 50 of chapter 7. Nicodemus, who had gone earlier to Jesus, we just talked about that, and who was numbered with one of their own, asked, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's been doing? That's the lawyer Nicodemus. But now he's on the other side. And he's proudly numbered with one of them. See, that's what DNA does. Did you ever kind of feel awkward? I mean, I felt awkward going to church in my small town. Really awkward because they knew who I was. They knew that I was a drunk and I carried on. And I remember my brother Doug and we're at New Year's. We went to the New Year's Eve party at the church instead of the New Year's Eve party at the Legion. And so when we were done probably about the same time as the bars let out. And we were driving home and there was a roadblock because people drink on New Year's Eve. I drank on New Year's Eve. I drank on every eve. And I was driving, and my brother was driving the car, and he pulls up to the roadblock and rolls it down. We know the cops really well, and he looks inside, and he shines a flashlight on my brother, and he says, you been drinking? He says, no, I was at church. That really blows the cops away. You were at church, yeah. So he said, do you have anything to drink tonight? You got any booze in the car? And then he shone the flashlight in the back, and I was there with Elaine, and he goes, oh, yeah, sure, you were at church. That's what he said. He says, we got a live one here. That's what he said, because God He's got to be drunk. He's got to be drunk. And I just didn't have anything to drink for probably 6 or 7 months. And that drove that cop nuts. So I tried to pacify him by offering him a cookie. And this is the thing, is that you change. You're not the same. You are different. You have God's DNA inside. You got spiritual DNA inside of you. This is who you are. Acceptance. You are numbered with one of the family. One of the Christians. You are numbered with one of the family. And one day, Jesus is coming back for his church, and that number is going to be called, and his church is going to go up, and you're going to be part of that. So later, Joseph, and this is verse 19, we're going to wrap this up. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he was afraid of the Jewish leaders. So he went, again, by night. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. So he took the body off the cross. And there's two of these guys, Nick and Joe. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Verse 39, it says, he was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had earlier visited with Jesus that night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. How many of you can pick up 75 pounds of sticky, gooey stuff? I mean, it would have been in a container, but 75 pounds is a lot. 75 pounds to embalm the body of Jesus Christ. You know what DNA will do for you? Spiritual DNA? You'll be allowed to participate in things that you probably never ever thought. These aren't the disciples of Jesus who came to take the body away. These weren't the disciples. These were secret disciples, Nicodemus and Joe, Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph's tomb. This guy was rich, so he gave them the tomb. Nicodemus knew the law, that we actually shouldn't be doing this because it would be unclean. I sat and pondered over this part of this scripture, this next slide. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it and with spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. You think about that for a few minutes. Their Savior, Jesus, who had engaged Nicodemus and said, hey, this is what you got to do, Nick. You got to be born again. You got to be born again. You got to be. You got a lot of knowledge, Nick, but you got to be born again. And Nicodemus pondered that and became born again. And there's Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, two people that we only read about in the last part of the gospel, who had one of the most significant roles in Christ's death and resurrection. The two of them went by night, took his body down, took it to the tomb, I guess, and then laid it out with the and wrapped him and did all the things that they're supposed to do according to the law. And both of them knew well what the law said. But that's their Savior, and he's dead. And they knew they'd be unclean touching someone, something dead. That's what happens. You become unclean. And so, but you see, spiritual DNA says we do not live under the law. We live under grace. Jesus fulfilled the law, but we live under grace. And can you imagine? Can you imagine that night? Can you try to see that picture? Can you see Jesus' body limp and dead and colorless and just this person that that was so vibrant and so powerful, and now he's there. And when they move him, they have to both move him because he weighs more than even the compounds that they're going to use to embalm him. And they have to get that linen, and they put it all that stuff on, and they start to wrap his body like this. And it's hours, and they're in the dark. What are they talking about? What would you be talking about? Would you say, you know, I know this guy is who he is, but he's dead now. He said he's going to raise himself from the, but he's dead. He's really dead. I think that kind of conversation would have gone on, but I think they would have said, because you're not stuck in the natural, the words of the Spirit would come to him, to both of them in there, and he said that he was going to rise on the third day. That death could not keep him down, that he was going to build this temple in 3 days. He was going to rise, and that death would no longer have victory. He was going to be the strength, the power. He's going to give us life over death, and he's going to do that so that we can all be free. And I think inside maybe that tomb or whatever, wherever they did this, I think there would have been kind of a small, like, exciting little church meeting. Wherever two are gathered, two or more are gathered, right? Joe and Nick and Jesus. His body was dead. The physical body was dead, but Jesus is alive. His spirit never died. And then we read that he rose from the dead. No one else in any other religion has risen from the dead. Only Jesus. And that's why it's only through Jesus that you can come to the Father and that you can receive spiritual DNA. It changes your life. Randy and the team, if you'd come. We're going to do as this song that we're going to worship here. I'd like you all to stand, if you would. And we call this the altar. Before, there used to be a fence, and you come to the altar, and there's some churches that have kneeling cushions so you can kneel at the altar. Sometimes we just need to come to the altar. We need to ponder what this is all about. Maybe this morning, this is the first time you heard that spiritual DNA is available through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to make a commitment to Christ for the first time. We heard testimonies that the power of God has changed lives as they come into this service. Maybe he's working on your life right now. Maybe there's just something very special going on in the Holy Spirit, and you're kind of going, what is this all about? That's what it was for us. Everybody else seemed to know what was going on, but we didn't. The Spirit of God just moved on our heart, and we went up and accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. We're going to say that prayer as we kind of just go into worship for a few minutes, and I just invite you to come to the altar. Just spend some time, and then we'll dismiss. Father, would you just pray this prayer with me? Father, I want to thank you for loving me. Thank you for creating me the way I am. And thank you that you've given me an opportunity to be born again. I need you in my life. I want you to come in and forgive me of my sins. I receive your gift of salvation. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior and my best friend. And I want to walk in a way that will please you until that day when you come for your family that is full of your spiritual DNA.